Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to another episode of the Trans Lesson Plan. Of course, as you already know, I am your host, Mari. It is a pleasure to be back on another week of the Trans Lesson Plan. Really, I like to say your go-to podcast for transgender history. That used to be the slogan back in season one. And it still technically is the slogan today. I just kind of had to revamp it to make it sound a little bit more educational in the descriptions. But that's basically what this podcast is. It's your go-to podcast for transgender history. I will continue to make that this. As you may or may not have known, of course, every time I create a new episode, it's basically giving a history lesson of the transgender community. So today, we will all be learning about the trial of M. Dion by a jury of matrons. Now, some of you all who may have taken women's gender and sexuality studies in college, or you just do a lot of research with the transgender history, of course, this story might sound very familiar to you. You might be already aware of this story. If you are not, no worries. This is what this podcast is about. Man, just might just give a little bit of some refreshers as well, which I do not mind. But like I said, to go ahead and get started in today's episode, because I'm going to take up too much of your time. I make these episodes short for a reason. I study psychology for a reason and understand how fast the brain works. So in 1777, a French diplomat named Charles Genevieve Louis Augustin André Timothy Dion de Beaumont, commonly known as the Chevalier Dion, was put on trial in London for a debt he owed to a local tradesman. And however, the trial became much more interesting when it was decided that the jury would be made up of entirely of women. Now, I should have gave a disclosure before I started. If I butcher some names, because I have terrible dialect, I want to apologize. I have a very terrible dialect that I'm working on. My girlfriend is helping me with this currently as I work on my dialect. So bear with me if I might say a couple of things, not technically wrong, but you know, getting the enunciation is just a tad bit incorrect. But as you think about the 1770s, right, in the 18th century, women's rights were severely limited compared to today. Right. So women were generally viewed as intellectually inferior and emotionally unstable. And as a result, they were excluded from many areas of public life, including, of course, legal proceedings, which is why not only is this specific point in history monumental for an entirely woman jury, of course, you had to think about women's rights too during this time. So, you know, however, you know, there were some signs of progress during this time. For example, our history lesson of today, it suggested that women were beginning to be seen as compatible and capable of making sound judgments, in legal matters. And additionally, women were beginning to participate in social and cultural movements, you know, such as the abolitionist movement and the early feminist movement too, as well. So while progress was slow, the 1770s set the stage for significant developments in the fight for women's rights in decades and centuries to come. Now, as we're thinking about also in the 1770s of how significant of a decade that was in world history, as you know, in the U.S., the decade saw the outbreak of the American Revolution, which ultimately led to the country's independence from Great Britain. You know, the Boston Tea Party occurred in 1773. The Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. You know, in Europe in the 1770s saw the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, which, well, you know, would have a profound impact on the world economy and society. So overall, the 1770s was a time of great change in many parts of the world. I'm not just talking about just the U.S. And setting the stage for significant developments in the decades and centuries to come. So, you know, although I talk about women's rights in the small piece of this just momentarily, you also have to think about how significant the decade was to world history as well. So to continue on, the jury known as the Jury of Matrons consisted of 12 married women who were tasked with examining a medical report to determine if the Chevalier was male or female. And of course, rumors have been circulating around for years. And if you look up the Chevalier's history, whether that be in a museum or something of that nature, you will understand why these rumors have been circulating over for years. But with that rumor of circulating, that the Chevalier was actually a woman, and this trial was an opportunity to actually settle that matter once and for all. The Chevalier had been living as a man for many years, guys, many years, and had even been served as a spy for the French government. However, when the jury examined the medical report, they determined that the Chevalier was in fact a woman. Now, are we really that shocked? I mean, no, absolutely not. Like I said, this podcast is about transgender history, so you should kind of already put the pieces together if you haven't already. But this caused a sensation in London and Paris, where the Chevalier was already well known. So the trial of M. Dion by the jury of matrons is an interesting historical case, right, that highlights the role of women in the legal system during the 18th century. And it also sheds light on the complex gender identity of the Chevalier Dion and the ways in which people navigated gender roles in the past. Now, I always like to talk about how people always claim that, transgender people are new to society, right? Like we weren't around for decades and centuries of time. And whenever I teach classes or I write reports and research and essays and all this stuff on these things, I always wonder, like, why do people assume that, right? Like, magically one day somebody just woke up and just like, you know what? I just want to be a man today, like in recent times, right? Or a woman today in recent times, or not binary, genderqueer in recent times, right? I'm like, this isn't brand new. Like I'm sure this has happened in decades of life in American history. You know, it might not have been documented as much, and it might not be as profound and seen as much, obviously, because of the evolution of social media, movies, TV. So this isn't brand new to the world. You know, I think people just assume that it is, and I hate that that is something that we look into and people just assume that. So they claim our existence doesn't belong to this world, or we're doing too much, we shouldn't be here, you know, things of that nature. And it sucks that although we present, you know, history and facts to these individuals in America who still feel as though gender and sexuality is one-sided or two, technically not really two-sided, but there's only one or the other, right? That they don't want to go back far enough in history to listen to podcasts like this or take classes or read books, go to museums to learn more about how gender and sexuality has always been around and continues to evolve as the years progress, right? So to fully understand the significance of this trial, it is important to consider the social and cultural context of the time. Like I said, I kind of highlighted how in the 18th century, gender roles were strictly defined and women were not typically involved in legal proceedings. So you really have to think about all those facts, right? So the fact that a jury of matrons was chosen to determine the gender of Dion was a radical departure from the norm. And it reflected a growing recognition of women's rights and compatibilities. So this trial shed light on the complex gender identity as well of Chevalier Dion. While the Chevalier was assigned male at birth, he identified and lived as a woman for a significant portion of his life. The Chevalier's gender identity was not accepted or understood by society at the time, and he faced significant challenges as a result, which, as I kind of hinted, we still face that today, right? How, like I said, it's not our gender identities, whether you're trans, gender queer, non-binary, anything that's not the societal norm of male or female, right? It's still not accepted today, more accepted, but not 100%. I don't think it ever really will. And also still not understood, no matter how many times we try to put out efforts to help people understand why gender identity is now on a scale and a spectrum rather than it being something that is strictly constructed down to just one or the other. However, the fact that the jury of matrons was able to determine that Chevalier was in fact a woman suggests that there were some level of recognition and acceptance of gender identity in the 18th century society. So the trial of M. Dion by a jury of matrons also had significant implications for the Chevalier's life and legacy. After the trial, the Chevalier returned to France and began living as a woman full time. She was granted a pension by the French government and became a prominent figure in society. The Chavière story continues to be celebrated today as an early example of transgender identity and a symbol for the fight for gender equality. So in conclusion, the trial of M. Dionne by Adrienne Matrons was a groundbreaking event in 18th century legal history. It highlights the role of women in the legal system and the complex gender identity of the Chavière Dionne. The trial also serves as a reminder of the progress that has been made in the fight for gender equality and the work that still needs to be done. Now, before I wrap up this episode, like I said, I want you all to really think about and honestly, if you haven't already, take a deeper dive into Chavière Dionne's life. I only really just hinted this historical event in the 18th century, quote unquote, you know, late 17th century. But I only highlight just this little piece of that. But I probably will do a podcast episode on this later on in life or later on down the road, just so that you guys can get a 100% 360 of the life of Chavière Dionne. But Chavière really put a huge, huge, huge impact on embracing, like I said, gender equality, the recognition and acceptance of gender identity, and like I said, the spectrum of it. So as you dig deeper into Chavière's life, definitely take the time to look into that, whether it be a museum, a book, or just a simple Google search. Like I always like to be very particular where you get your resources from. Because, like I said, as you talk about how we made a lot of fight and sacrifices to be who we are today, Chavière is legit one of the very, very, very first individuals in society to be able to showcase this. Now, Chavière obviously wasn't able to tell us about their lives. And, you know, as we try to dig up more and more history about Chavière, we won't never get their side of the story on how much they've impacted the transgender community and our rights to be here today. So definitely take a look into that. Definitely take a look into this trial as well. I already gave you guys a high level overview of this trial, but I highly recommend doing a little bit deeper dive into that as well. I'll provide the additional links and resources via the description in this podcast. So like I said, take a look into the importance of this trial, how groundbreaking this event was in history for not only the transgender community, but also for women's history as well. And just continue to educate yourselves, everyone. It's very important as to how, although I try to give you guys a good 10, 15, 20-ish minutes of an episode about a significant event in transgender history, that you should also take into consideration additional education as well. So, to conclude, as always, my name is Mari. Today's episode, of course, will be taking donations as it relates to a trans-owned organization. I will drop those in the description below. You can support this podcast, of course, on the page, but we have a support button. Like I said, any support that we get, like I said, always goes to some type of trans-owned organization. The trans-owned organization I'll be talking about today will be dropped in the description. So if you want to learn a little bit more, I'll drop websites and names as well. And as always, we have a brand new episode every single week. So please don't hesitate to tell a friend, family member, cousin, somebody that you might know in the community, share this via social media as well. I would greatly appreciate that. Another thing I want to talk about is following us on social media to keep up to date with any new episodes that we drop. You can follow us at The Trans Lesson Plan, exactly how it's spelled in our name. Just take out the asterisk, of course, and just keep it all one word. If you want to follow me personally, the host, you can follow me at Mari World. That is MARIWRLD on social media as well. Next week, I'll have a brand new episode for you all, so please stay tuned for that. I'll also keep you guys updated on social media. So as we conclude, I hope you all have a great rest of your day, great rest of your week as well. Like I said, we'll be back with a brand new episode next week of The Trans Lesson Plan. Have a good day, everybody.